Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the gin is so delightful.
Sarah.
And since I'm stuck in the desert,
hello.
Let it flow, let it flow,
Sarah,
let it
can you hear me?
Oh, hello?
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. You're feeling very Christmassy over there in Doha, aren't you?
Do you know that I'm sitting here with reindeer antlers on my head?
Of course you are.
I've just put a little video message up on our Facebook page and I'm wearing reindeer antlers.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And I apologise in the background if you hear some woofing. I am dog-sitting my friend Lucy's little dog, Jake. And he follows me around like a bad smell, and he doesn't like it that I'm talking to no one. He can't see the other person I'm talking to. He's a little Maltese, so he's a little white fluffball. He's very, very cute.
Oh, he sounds divine. Okay, yes. Says.
I'm positive if you hear him woofing in the background.
So season 2, episode 11, and we are doing How Do Expats Celebrate Their Holidays?
Yes, because you are in Australia celebrating Christmas and I am in the desert celebrating Christmas, and so they both look quite different.
They do look very different, don't they? And maybe if we start, Says, by, because I went home, I guess it's almost a week ago now. I have completely lost track of time. It's all weird Christmas time.
You went home almost a week. More than a week. You went home Sunday last week.
Wow. And we're Monday today. So, yes, so I had my last chemo on Wednesday, which was very strange because I was
Christmas
really,
chemo?
Yes, a little bit of Chrissy chemo. But it was very strange because I didn't have my usual posse with me, and I was with my Australian friends, which was amazing and something quite unique to share with old friends, but just very different to be surrounded by Australian staff and Australian Christmas and Australian oncologists and that whole Australian healthcare.
Yes, and just quick, because I've just thought about this now. So when you're – see, I've seen the evolution – of your cancer treatment because we've been here in the same city. So I've seen it all happen and I've seen it all play out. How did your girlfriends react when they saw you? Because when you left in the summer, you had gotten your pixie cut.
Yes.
And we've now seen that become even shorter, an even shorter pixie, and now you're rocking the wig, you're rocking the headscarf. What was that? How was their reaction?
It's really interesting. I think it's really very sad for people, but they try not to be sad. I think that's probably a fair thing to say.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about it out loud, but I can see a sadness there. I think my parents tried very hard to do the whole, oh, you don't need hair. You look amazing. You look fantastic. But it's obviously weird because I'm completely
bald. But
they
haven't seen that. Well, I guess they've seen a little bit online, but they haven't seen it in real life.
Yes, yes.
It wasn't as shocking to me or I guess any of your friends because it happened gradually. It went bit by bit.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So it was this big reveal, whereas I think going back home and you're in real life with your family and friends, that would have been, I'm guessing, quite a shock.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, they've got to sit amongst it where, for me, I've had 3 lots of chemo, so it all feels very run-of-the-mill. And for them, they're sitting there like a deer stuck in the headlights going, wow, this is pretty serious. And I met a really phenomenal woman who I instantly just liked, and she has cancer all over the place, and she's got 3 young children, and you know, her and I were having this conversation that people with cancer have because it's all very normal and you get used to it and you talk about it in a certain language, but I could see my friends were like, oh my God, this is the saddest story I've ever heard, and you know, very hard for them to deal with. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of stuff, but you know, it's done. I can't believe it. We are done with chemo, and I am definitely at the flip side. I'm starting to feel a bit better. I had a weekend of just feeling, and I always say like death, which is a terrible thing to say, but it's true. Like you really do feel like you're dying, and you're just flat and can't do anything and can't move or get out of bed or whatever. So I had that over the weekend, which my parents were here, and I think that was probably quite distressing for them as well. I mean, they got on with it. They were great with the kids and they did a great job and they were fantastic. But it still is a lot for your family to deal with. My immediate family, my kids, were amazing, though, because they've seen it, done it.
They've seen it all, yeah.
Yeah, that for them it's just like, oh, Mum, do you want some ice cubes? Mum, do you want me to fan your face? Whereas my parents were more, oh, my gosh, what do we do? She's so sick. And I know that my mum was sending my sister texts saying, oh, my gosh, she's so sick, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really... it's a process, I guess, like anything, and it's you know, you just move along. And my oncologist said in his very chirper oncologist way, I'm never ever going to tell you you're cured until you die of something else. And I said, well, that's a really Debbie Downer kind of thing to say. And he said, yes, well, oncologists tend to be Debbie Downer kind of people.
But as you and I have said the last couple of weeks, this Christmas for you guys is almost not a write-off, but it's just very different.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've just got to go through it, and then next year it's going to be back to normal again.
That's right. That is exactly right. This one isn't normal. It's not what we usually do. It doesn't feel the usual Christmas stuff, but it still feels good and we're all happy to be here, but it's not our usual stuff. But I want to talk to you, Sez, about Christmas for you in Doha and sort of your expat time, and how has Christmas looked for you as an expat since you left?
Well, we've only had one Christmas in Australia, which I think was 3 years ago. Thank you to the Facebook Share Your Memories app. So we've always done Christmas Day at a hotel, and that sort of tradition started in Abu Dhabi. And I think I don't get too homesick when I do the Christmas Day at a hotel here, because it's not what we would do back home. So back home, we're rushing between both families. It's a big family reunion. It's normally, in the last couple of years, it's always rained on Christmas Day back home. So to then do a hotel Christmas here, I don't get too homesick because it's just so different. Whereas last year here in Doha, we actually did Christmas at home. My our really close friends, Sharon and Joe, we put on Christmas for, I think, about 15, 20 people.
Oh, good Lord.
And I actually got really homesick because it was at home. Yeah. And it was our Doha family, but it wasn't my family. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't my mum and dad. It wasn't my sister. It wasn't Matt's family. So I got really homesick last year, and Matt and I agreed we would never do that again. While we're always having Christmas here in Doha, it will always be at a hotel because it is so different from what we're used to.
Ah, that's really interesting.
Yeah, I got really homesick last year because what we did was, because we had people from all different nationalities, I said to them, give me one dish that really reminds you of Christmas back home, and we will make that dish for you. So everyone had something to remind them of back home. So for me, it was my mum's trifle. Mm-hmm. And my mum had been in Doha the week before Christmas, before flying back home. So she and I had made her trifle together as a test run, and then I made it the day of, and I was so sad. I think there was actually tears in my trifle.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Because, you know, that trifle is my mum. I should have been home with my mum. So Matt and I agreed. I mean, it was, don't get me wrong, it was a lovely Christmas day and we had so much fun. But from now on, while we're here, it'll be at a hotel.
Yeah. And so do you still take, you would take those 15 people and just go to a nice hotel and all enjoy the day together and do something fresh and new together?
Still be with our Doha family, but it'll just be a buffet lunch at one of the hotels. But controversially, this year we've got Christmas Eve is going to be a dry day in the Middle East. I think it's because it's Prophet Muhammad's birthday.
Yes.
And the rumour has it that maybe they're going to make Christmas Day dry as well.
Oh, wow, that would be very different. I've had a hotel Christmas in Doha. It was the first one when we moved to Doha and we went to a really beautiful hotel. I have to say it was one of the best Christmases I've ever had. It was just beautiful. And it's that whole, it's exactly what you said, Says. It's the orphan Christmas where you get together with a bunch of friends from all over the place, and the kids usually have a ball because there's enough activities for kids to do, and there's a Santa, and there's that whole Christmas hotel feeling that only hotels can do. And
you don't have to do any cleaning up afterwards.
Yeah, that's right. And you just go for, you know, you just have 3 hours of beautiful food and fun. And we actually stayed the night last time, so we kind of went for the whole day and had a whole bunch of people that stayed. Yeah, it was excellent. It was really, really nice. Now, Sarah, how does it look in Doha at Christmas time? What sort of Christmas stuff have you done?
Well, we do a lot of, I think we do more Christmassy things here than we do back home. So we always go to a couple of the hotels that do their Christmas tree lighting ceremonies. We always go and see the Doha Singers Christmas concert, or they call it a winter festival here. And so I think, you know, the week or two leading up to Christmas, I honestly think we do more Christmassy things than we would back home. But the big difference, I think, really, I think when people think of Qatar and then the UAE, a lot of people think it's very much same-same. But these two countries couldn't be really any different when it comes to Christmas. When we were living in Abu Dhabi and Dubai put Christmas on like nothing I've seen before. So not only are the hotels all decorated, but the streets are decorated, the malls are decorated with trees. You can go to Santa's Grotto in the shopping malls in Dubai and Abu Dhabi and meet Santa, very similar to what you would do back home. And I think that sometimes surprises people living in a Muslim country that actually the Muslims are very happy to celebrate Christmas. Because you just get into the spirit. Of course, some don't, and I completely get that and understand that. But a lot of them do. I've got Muslim friends here that are putting their Christmas trees up, and Qatari parents at school are wishing us a Merry Christmas. And the same way that we wish them a Happy Eid and, you know, hope that they have a lovely Ramadan, I think it sort of goes both ways. And a lot of people that haven't been to this region don't really understand that. But Qatar, I mean, you can buy your Christmas decorations in the shops here in Qatar, but you're not going to see the malls decorated, or you're not going to go and meet Santa in the malls, but in the hotels you can, and the hotels feel really Christmassy at the moment.
Yeah. I thought maybe we could listen to Janine, who is an Aussie who's in Dubai, and she has sort of made the most of it, very similar in that every time she thinks about going home, she then weighs up how much it's going to cost and what it's going to look like and how much of their holidays they're going to use, and should they be making the most of using their holiday time to go and see more of the world. But this year she's going to China, and I just thought it'd be really interesting to hear from Janine to see, well, what does that look like if you go to China for Christmas?
Okay.
I'm from Melbourne and my husband's from Sydney.
And how long have you guys been expats for?
We've been expats in Dubai for 8.5 years. But before I was married to my husband, I was also in Croatia and Vienna and the UK for 2.5 years, like a lifetime ago. So, yeah, this is our second stint, my second stint.
And so where did you and your husband meet?
We met in Sydney. So, yeah, we started our life in Sydney, and I lived there for 5 years. And then we moved to Melbourne, and we were only there for like a year and a half, 2 years. And then we moved to country Victoria, and we were there for a couple of years, and then we moved to Dubai.
Oh, wow, that's a massive change, country Victoria to Dubai. Now, you're off to China for Christmas?
Yeah, we've been there once before, so this is our second Christmas in China.
And why China? What made you choose China the first time?
Well, we've been to China quite a few times as a couple, and we just really like China. We love the food and we love the culture and we like the people. And so then when we were here and we were kind of wanting to get out of Dubai for Christmas, and I was looking, you know, in Europe, something that would be nice and snowy and white, and it was all just so expensive over Christmas. But China, it's actually still the low season in Christmas. So, you know, hotels and everything are really cheap. So we decided to go there for Christmas, and it was just so lovely. That year it snowed from the time we got there. Everyone's riding around with Santa hats on, and there's Christmas carols everywhere and Christmas trees. And it's really more Christmassy than what Dubai was back then, because Dubai wasn't very into it a few years ago. So it was really nice.
And it's not a Christian country, China, either. So are they just kind of joining in with the spirit of Christmas?
Yeah, they just really get into it. They still all work on Christmas Day and everything. They don't get the day off, and it's, yeah, it's not a Christian country, but they just, I think they just really like, you know, the atmosphere themselves.
That is gorgeous.
This year I don't think it's going to snow. It's looking a bit grey and horrible in Beijing this year.
And whereabouts do you go in China exactly?
We go all over, but this year we're just going to Beijing. We're also going down to a really small town in the centre of China called Pingyu, where we have some children that we sponsor in an orphanage. So that's the other reason we chose it this year, because we want to actually go down and see them for Christmas. Yeah. So we've got three kids there, and it's an orphanage run by an American couple, and they get no state support at all. So we've been helping them out for a few years. So we thought, oh, well, it'd be nice to actually go and see those kids for Christmas and take our kids there, so they can also see, you know, how it's not the same for everybody at Christmas time. So we thought that would be nice.
And how old are your kids, Janine?
15 and 13.
So two perfect travelling age to really get it. And so you were telling me you've also been to some other places for Christmas. Where else have you done it rather than go home?
When I was living in Europe, I had a Christmas in Vienna, which was lovely. Just with some friends. I was living in Croatia, so we went to Vienna for Christmas. And also when I was there, we had a Christmas in Paris, Disneyland. One year we went to Disneyland in Paris for Christmas. Fantastic. Which was nice. And then since we've been in Dubai, we've had a few here, but we've also been to China once, and we've been to Thailand, and we've been, last year we went to Vietnam.
And is your reason just because it's easier than trying to go home and do both families, and also just the, like, I mean, I'm about to hop on a plane. It's going to take a full 24 hours for me to get back to my home, which I think a lot of people don't understand with Australia. It just seems to be so far from anywhere. So what's your reasoning when you go and do those things for Christmas? What's behind it?
It is just because it's so far, it's so expensive to get there for the whole family. And the kids only get 2 weeks off school at Christmas. So if we go there, and we'd really feel like we'd have to do both Melbourne and Sydney. And it was just the thought of it and the craziness of just rushing around everywhere and catching flights. And it's just too much for me. I just think it's just too hard for 2 weeks.
Yeah. And so then does that thought ever waver when you get to sort of Christmas Day and you make the phone call to your family?
Yeah. When I speak to them, I always want to be there. And I always, every year, I always say, next year we're going to go home to Australia for Christmas. And then it comes to the crunch, and I look at the flights and I look at how much it's going to cost, and I think, oh, for that money, imagine what else we could do. So we never ever make it. But every year when I speak to them on Christmas Day, I have a bit of a cry and stuff, and I go, next year we're going home. But I hadn't been home for 6 years until this year. It was the first year I went home since I got here, really.
Wow. So, and same for that, your children hadn't been home for 6 years as well?
No, we actually have sent them home for their summer holiday, because they get 2 months off like your kids do.
Yeah.
Over summer here, we have sent the children home by themselves a few times. So we whack them on the flight unaccompanied, and they go and spend time in Sydney or in Melbourne with grandparents and cousins and stuff. So they've been home a few times, but we hadn't got there. So.
And why don't you go, Janine? Is it because you're working, or?
Yeah, I'm working. So when we factor in other holidays that we've done and the time we'd need to take off to go there, and again to do the Melbourne and the Sydney, it just again seems too hard. And we have people come here. So, you know, my in-laws come and visit most years, and my dad comes most years, and sort of other family members have come here. And we go on holidays with my dad. Like if we're going to Thailand, we'll meet him in Thailand. And it's much nicer for everyone, because then we're not we're not sort of worried about work and normal day-to-day things. Everyone's in the holiday mode, and it's nicer to spend that time together, I think.
I love that Janine's going to China, and she's going to a country that traditionally maybe wouldn't celebrate Christmas, but they're going to the effort to really put it on. I love that. And that actually reminds me of a Christmas we had in Bali in Indonesia, and it was one of the best Christmases we ever had in a non-Christian country. They put it on like there was no tomorrow.
They make amazing decorations in Indonesia. They really
do. And I just love that Janine is really getting in. I'm not a religious person by any means, but I feel the spirit of Christmas, and I love that feeling of Christmas. And I think Janine's really got it when she said the Christmas of, you know, she's giving back. And that really is the spirit of Christmas, by going to the orphanage and visiting the children. She's got it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? She knows what Christmas is all about.
I agree. I just thought she just made the most of anything that China had to offer Christmas-wise. And, the whole thing about going to the orphanage, and I mean, that's an amazing thing to show your kids. It's
absolutely, and that it's not all about presents and tinsel, that, you know, there are people in this world that are really suffering this time of year. So I think that's really lovely that she did that. She's got it, Janine. She's got the Christmas spirit.
And I think on a personal level for me, says I just found that I realised I did the same thing for Christmas year in, year out, every year. And I got very much into my routines of, you know, that it was always at my parents' house and we always sat in the same place. We ate the same food. We did the same everything at my parents' house. Like, there was no moving around, no change. It was just always there. And so I think what ends up happening if you are quite stuck in your ways, well, then you end up an absolute mess when it comes to Christmas and you have to change because you can't do anything different. So I think I always think one of the best things that ever happened to me was when we moved to Canada and we were just too far away and it was too expensive and it was just too much to head home. We had our first Christmas at home in Canada. And we absolutely loved it. And, yes, you are miserable. I mean, everyone talks about how you make that phone call to your family and you cry and you think, I'm never going to do this again. I miss them so much. But there is something about when you suddenly become the grown-up and you have Christmas and you make those decisions. And particularly as a parent, you know, my mother has always been the queen of Christmas and she cooked the roast and it was at her house and it was very much done how she did it. But there is a massive change when you grow up and you have your own children and you start to decide what you might like to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also one of the main reasons that we stay here for Christmas is this is Sadie's home. So this is her Christmas tree that she gets to decorate. It's her home that she runs down the stairs on Christmas morning to see what Santa's brought her. That when we go home, I think that gets taken away a little bit because we don't live in our home in Australia. Whereas for you, you've got your home in Adelaide, you know, and that's your home. And as wonderful it is to spend Christmas with our family, don't get me wrong, it is, and Sadie still gets really excited, there's something about waking up in your own bed and seeing her face light up the presents with her Christmas tree.
Absolutely. Yeah. I couldn't agree more, Says. I think you're absolutely right. And there is something about it's your family and your day and your thing, and you get to pick and choose what you're going to do and how that's going to work for you.
You watch me next year when we go home for Christmas and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, yeah, Australian Christmas is the only way to go.
Now, Says, I want to talk about that because this is going to be very controversial, but it's been one of the reasons we wanted to do this show was we wanted to talk about how different it is when one of you goes home and the other one stays and how different it feels. And I have to say there is something with Australia with summer. And even if you take Christmas out of the equation, but you can't take Christmas out of the equation with summer in Australia because it's just all part of the thing.
Yeah, Christmas and summer go hand in hand for us, don't they?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, there is something going on here, and this is the bit that's controversial, is I just think Australia wins at summer. It's a whole different feeling. You know, we go home for winter every year and it's lovely and, you know, I love the footy and I love the weather and I love, you know, even a winter beach and all that sort of stuff. But there is something about Australia and the way we dress and talk and interact and everything about it that is different.
And it's the way your skin feels when you've been outside in the sun and you're not burnt, but you've like edged towards getting a little bit sunburnt, and the way your skin feels and the cicadas, you know, chirping away during the day and at night. I totally get it.
Tino says in the morning, because our beach house is just a big glass front, so people walk past a lot more in the summer because they're on their way down to the beach. And our little street is a bit of a thoroughfare to get down there. And I keep seeing, like, I'll be out the front and there'll be a 70-year-old woman wearing bathers with just a, you know, like a short caftan over the top, and she'll be on her bike with a towel over her shoulder riding down to the beach. And, you know, there is just this feeling of complete relaxation, and, you know, there'll be someone will walk past with a kayak on some wheels, and, you know, someone else has got a big brimmed hat, and there's kids playing cricket out the front. There's all these cafes where people are sitting out the front. People get hot and sweaty and they don't care. They just think, well, that's the way it is. We just wear shorts and t-shirts, and there's this smell of sunscreen, and it just is the most amazing thing. And the minute you land and you look, and it's you know, in quite often in Doha, you may even hear Christmas carols in the middle of the year because someone's put the wrong CD on. You know, you'll hear Mariah or whatever, and it's just here, you know, the kids have been down to just the local Woolies, and there's a Santa like down at the local supermarket, and there's just Christmas everywhere. You go into the bank and there's tinsel and Christmas, and, you know, every sort of radio announcer. So there is just a very, you realize, you know, when you, I think we make such an effort of making Christmas happen when we're expats elsewhere. Like, we go, right, we're going to put up the Christmas tree, we're going to take you to the carols, we're going to take you to the tree lighting, we're really going to make sure you have a lot of Christmas. But then the flip side of that is when you're home, it's just smack bang in your face all the time. You don't need to make...
You don't have to go to the effort of doing it. Yeah, you're right. And also, I think the big thing about Christmas back home is, and this is not for everyone, but a lot of people do, their offices close down from about today until New Year's.
Yes.
So it's almost everyone's on holidays and everyone is relaxed, whereas here in the Middle East, Christmas Day is still a working day.
Yes.
So a lot of people actually have to take annual leave to go out for Christmas.
That's right, which is the weirdest feeling ever.
Yeah, this year, because Matt's now working for a German company, and we've really noticed it this year that because they're German and it's almost like the Germans invented Christmas, they give Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day off at company. And it's like all of a sudden it was that hit of, it's nowhere near like being back home, but it was that hit of, oh, we get, you know, Matt's getting a short working week because it's Christmas.
Yeah, definitely. And I've had something similar, says, in that, you know, the company I work for, our office shuts down on the 23rd. And so, you know, we've just had an editorial meeting where we're really trying to push as much work through as we can, because on the 23rd, everything shuts down until the 4th of Jan. And you're right, like, that doesn't happen. I know when we've been in other countries that aren't traditional Christmas celebrators.
Yeah,
quite often G has had to take a day off of work to have Christmas Day off. Everything. And I know a lot of people will still work on Christmas Day because they'll get better pay, or they'll only have to work a half day, you know, which is the strangest feeling.
I went and had my hair cut yesterday, and my hairdresser is working Christmas Day, and he's from the Philippines and he celebrates Christmas, and he said it's going to feel really, really weird. And I just felt so sorry for him. I'm like, do people really book in on Christmas Day? And he said, yeah, I'm fully booked.
Oh, gosh. But, you know, says the thing about that then is, I just keep thinking about all of the Muslims that are in the Western world that managed to get themselves through Ramadan and Eid and all those things, and no one pays any attention to what they're missing out on with their families and how difficult it is.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I can't imagine you're doing Ramadan and everyone's having a big feast at lunchtime and talking about food and offering you stuff, and you're continuing to have to say, well, actually, I'm observing Ramadan, or this, I'm not, usually I would go and break the fast with my family, but they're in a different country, so I'm just going home to have a piece of bread. You know, it must be awful.
Yes, yeah, yeah. My dad's PA is actually Muslim, and so Dad almost celebrates Ramadan, does Ramadan with her because he feels too bad eating his lunch during the day. The month of Ramadan, he's an honorary Muslim because he feels too bad eating his lunch.
Oh, that's so sweet. Now, says, I wanted to mention Angie, and Angie's been a long-time listener of ours, and she...
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Angie was in Romania for a while and took all those amazing photos in Romania. But I was asking her, because she's going to have a really tough Christmas this Christmas, where her and her daughter will be in Dubai, but her husband is working in Iraq, and so she will be having Christmas without him. And I thought it'd be really interesting to talk about that, because we often forget just the hardship that particularly expat women go through trying to connect all their family, and what it can look like being away from family and friends at Christmas.
I'm from Austria. Living away from Austria for the 20 years now. I lived in 5 different countries. I had to write it down because I can't remember anymore. So we lived in Libya, Australia, New Zealand and Romania, and now I'm in Dubai.
And what is this Christmas going to look like for you?
It will be very different this year, because I'm in Dubai, but my husband has to go to Iraq to work. And, yeah, I try not to think about it too much. It probably will hit me on Christmas Eve. But my daughter is here with me. She's 24 years old, so it's easier for me than for my husband.
Yes, yes, that's definite. And you have a son as well, right?
Yes, Oliver is 30 and he lives in Perth in Australia.
Ah, and so what will his Christmas look like?
Oh, he's living there with his girlfriend and her parents. They're Italians living in Bali. and they will stay with him and his girlfriend.
Right, okay. So tell me, what would Christmas in Austria look like if you were in Austria and you were together as a family? How would that look for you?
Yeah, because my mother-in-law is not very well, so normally we celebrate with her in her home. And this is like a very traditional Christmas with going to church and having dinner, presents, praying. And afterwards we go to see my parents because they live close by. Mm-hmm. That means lots of food and lots of drinks and lots. It's fun. It's what I'm used to. Afterwards we normally visit my sister, and that's food again. And presents. And it's very stressful sometimes. And afterwards, we see my other sister. So that means 4 Christmases a day.
Wow. And so do you think Christmas Day can actually be harder when it's in your home country?
Oh, definitely. Because even before we leave the country where we are in now, we have to think, what do we bring? How much can we get in our suitcases, presents and everything? Yeah.
Yes.
And then the phone calls arrive because everyone wants to celebrate with us, but they have their own traditions. And ours is different, just my husband, me and the kids. It would be very simple, nice food, talking, sitting around, and the Christmas tree. We like it very quiet and simple, and it's very stressful with the whole family, but also we want to see them.
I imagine as a family you've had Christmas days in different countries with the 4 of you. What can you, if I had to ask you, what has been one of your favorite Christmases, what would you say?
Libya, always Libya. Because there was no mobile phones, the TV was hardly working. If you had electrician, we just put our Christmas decoration outside in the garden on the palm tree, and it was so much fun. It was so nice.
Libya was, because you and I, and we share that Libya connection, not that we were there at the same time, but we both have very fond feelings about it. And I'm the same as you. I loved it because it was so simple. Life was just so simple. And was that it, that it was really about catching up with friends? And did you find that the locals, because it is a primarily a Muslim country, were people fussed about you decorating or celebrating Christmas?
Because they're celebrating Mohammed's birthday at the same time. So yes, there was Christmas decoration everywhere in the shops. Then I thought, oh, it's just for us, but it was more for them.
Yes.
And they know our traditions and they were very interested in it. Australia was different again, like 40 degree heat and the turkey melting in the sun.
And did you find that hard to get used to? What was it like being in a hot country for Christmas?
Yeah, it was weird because in Austria we celebrate Christmas on the 24th of December in the evening. So, and normally it gets dark at 5 o'clock in Austria, and in Australia it doesn't get dark until 9, 10 p.m. at night. Mm-hmm. And we're just sitting around the turkey waiting for the sun to go down. Yeah, it's different. You swim in the pool in the afternoon and you think, oh, what's going on? And Boxing Day was something we completely didn't understand what it was. I think I still don't understand it.
Oh, wow. Of course, because Boxing Day, you know, is really probably one of our favourite days because it's the day after Christmas, and so you know, the batteries are still working in the children's toys, and they're happy and playing, and you're not doing full on family. You may be doing friends. There is a tradition in Australia with the Boxing Day test with the cricket, so everybody tends to have the cricket on in the background, and it's really a very relaxing day. It's the day, you know, where all that pressure of Christmas is gone. You've got leftover food in the fridge. It's just a beautiful Boxing Day is really my favourite. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was wondering, where are all the people? Perth was completely empty.
Yes. Yes.
And only at the third Christmas in Australia, I realised they're all at the beach.
Yes.
Now
Yes. No, we
do. It's hard to explain to family in Austria because our Christmas has changed a bit. It's like we never had a turkey in Austria. It's normally fish you have for dinner, and now we eat turkey, and my family is like, what's going on?
Wow.
So but this is everything in our life. We are so different now to our family.
So what do you think your husband will do in Iraq on Christmas Day? He's obviously working, but does he have people he's going to catch up with and do something with?
I'm not sure if many people will be there because the office there is very small. Mm-hmm. He has to stay, because of security reasons, he has to stay in a guest house. Mm-hmm. It's a huge house and normally he's alone there, so I don't know. He probably goes for a run and has a drink and then goes to bed.
Yes. Mm. And it's safe for him to go for a run, or is he running inside on a treadmill?
No, it's safe. There's a park especially made for running, and he's running there.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. It's a bit too much at the moment.
Yeah. So for your daughter and you, will you go out for a meal or will you stay at home? What are your plans for the day?
Yeah, I told her, so maybe we could go for a nice dinner, something we never do on Christmas, and just like ignore Christmas maybe a little bit. And she said, no, we have a tree and we have our dinner. We do the usual thing, just the two of us.
Aww.
So I think I will play along.
Yes. Yeah. She obviously wants to make you happy.
Yeah. It's really nice. And I think with Skype, we probably will call my husband and my son and just different.
Oh, I'm just sending lots of love to Angie, to her and her daughter and her husband in Iraq. I think that's going to be a bit of a sad day. No matter how much they try and make it feel like Christmas for them, I think, you know, it's going to be a hard day for them, for all of them.
Oh, I agree. And you know,
it's like geographical schizophrenia for that family, because you've got family in Perth, Dubai, Iraq. The in-laws are in Bali. I mean, everyone... That's going to be some serious Skype calls on Christmas Day.
That's right. And did you see with Ant, it's like you were saying about the Germans just about invented Christmas. She's from Austria, and you look at what they do in Austria and how huge it is, and and how it kind of kicks off on the 24th of December, and that every town has this amazing tree and the shops close at 6 p.m. and so there's no movies or theatre performances, no concerts, no restaurants, because it's all about Christmas. And nothing really opens up again until the 27th, which I thought was really interesting. But it really, I cannot imagine if that's your culture in your home, and then, you know, years later you find yourself with a husband in Iraq and a daughter. I thought it was beautiful how much her daughter was just trying to make her enjoy the day.
And don't you think also it doesn't matter how old you get, you still put Christmas on for your kids?
Yes, yes.
Ange alluded to the fact that she'd almost like to skip Christmas this year, but she can't because her daughter's there and her daughter's grown up, so she's still going to decorate the house.
Yeah.
I thought it was so lovely that it doesn't matter how old you are, you're still going to make it, you know, as good a Christmas as you can for your kids.
Yeah, and gorgeous that her daughter was like, no, Mum, we're going to do this. You're going to do Christmas and we're going to have a good day and this will happen. Yeah, I thought it was beautiful. But wasn't it interesting too that the Austrian Christmas goes for days and it's a really big thing, but then she really didn't understand the whole idea behind Boxing Day. Because Boxing Day is a holiday that's traditionally celebrated the day following Christmas Day. And it's when tradesmen, and they say servants, but I can't imagine we had a lot of servants in Australia, but it's when servants and tradesmen receive gifts known as the Christmas box. I get it.
It's like a blue-collar Christmas day.
Yeah, so your boss or your employer would give you a box. And now in the United Kingdom, Barbados, Canada, Hong Kong, Australia, Bermuda, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, or basically British colonies, it was also a bank holiday and it generally took place on the 26th. So I imagine probably the worker bees all had to work on Christmas Day because everybody was entertaining family, but then they got the day off. Yes.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I think a lot of parents would feel that way on Boxing Day. Yeah.
You know, my best friend Sarah back home, her family don't really do a Christmas Day. They celebrate Christmas on Boxing Day. That's when they do a really big family party.
It's
all about Boxing Day for her and her family, like her parents, rather than Christmas Day.
See, my favourite thing about Boxing Day is the cricket's on.
Yes.
And everybody, all the kids have got their toys, the batteries still work, they're excited and happy. Usually you've taken a step back from family, maybe you're catching up with a couple of friends, and there's all the leftover food in the fridge so you don't have to cook anything, and it is this beautiful, relaxing, let's just lay on the couch, watch a bit of cricket and enjoy being with family. And I find it so relaxing. And, you know, maybe you've got some clothes that you can wear from Christmas that you don't have to think about, that are clean and done. I just love it. I think it's such a great day.
Do you know, Boxing Day is probably the day where I feel the saddest for Matt, because he is an absolute cricket nut.
Yes.
And for him, Boxing Day is sitting in shorts and T-shirt and not moving on the couch, moving from the couch. Like, I do everything for him on Boxing Day. So ever since we've been here, I really go out of my way to make it like he's back home. So what I do is I tape the cricket because of the time difference.
Oh,
the cricket's almost over by the time we get up on Boxing Day.
Yep.
So I tape it so he can have his sleep in. He gets up. I invite friends around that are also into cricket. They sit on the couch, I feed them, I give them their booze, and he gets to watch the cricket. So it's as close to being back home as I can possibly make it for him.
Oh, that's so gorgeous. And it's so, so gorgeous. And, you know, now they have state cricket on every bloody night on the television.
Yeah, don't I know about it?
Okay, so I thought one of the other things we could look at is we have the difference between, and this is a highly debatable topic with Australians because we've been told forever and a day that we don't have a proper Christmas because it doesn't snow. Have you heard that one?
Yes. Yeah. It riles me.
Yeah. And it happens all the time that people go, oh, yeah, I went to Australia, but it just wasn't right because it was hot.
Yeah, and you all eat prawns for your lunch and you all go swimming in the pool and you just wear shorts and T-shirts on Christmas Day. What's that about? Because that's an Aussie Christmas. Hello.
Yeah, it's kind of perfectly normal for us. So I thought we'd talk to Shannon, who's heading back to Canada for Christmas, and she talked about being a Canadian and what it's like to be in Australia as a Canadian because it is fundamentally different at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. So I thought we'd have a listen to Shannon and she could explain to us how different her Christmas is going to be when she gets to Canada.
Okay.
Shannon, you're a Canadian living in Brisbane, is that right?
That's right.
And so how long have you been in Brisbane?
We've been here almost 1 year.
And is this your first expat posting?
No, we were in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia for 2 years before that.
So how many Christmases have you spent away from Canada?
So we've spent 3 Christmases away, so this will be our first one, our first white Christmas in 3 years.
Wow. And when do you head back?
We head back on Sunday, so I'm busily avoiding packing my gift suitcase and all of that stuff.
Because that's the thing a lot of people wouldn't realise is you have to then pack all your presents and have a special suitcase that goes as well, and some of those things need to be hidden, and it's incredibly hard when you're doing that internationally, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that's our newest hurdle we haven't experienced as expats, because we've always gone back in the summer. So this year, you know, we've sort of embraced online shopping, and my brother and sister-in-law graciously have packages arriving at their house every day, and trying to get everything sent and lists made, and not, you know, let spill the beans to everybody on what, who's getting what. And yeah, it's been a new expat learning curve for us, for sure.
So your house in Brisbane is decorated with a Christmas tree at the moment?
It is.
And where will you go in Canada for Christmas? Do you have a house there, or will you be staying with family?
So we've kept a condo out in the mountains, in the Rocky Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
So we will go out there, and we've been lucky enough to get another condo in the building for the family to come. So both sides will visit and take turns coming to see us over the holiday. So we'll get to unpack into our dressers and all of that and not have to live out of a suitcase. So we're feeling kind of lucky about that, at least.
Yeah. Now tell me, because you grew up in Canada where, yes, sometimes you will have a very white Christmas. Although I seem to remember when we lived in Canada, it was only a few years before there was a day where Christmas was 16 degrees or something ridiculous.
Yes.
Because the weather does tend to fluctuate. But yeah, we definitely had some beautiful white Christmases when we were in Canada. So tell me how it feels when you're in Australia and Christmas just looks nothing like you think Christmas is meant to look.
I think it's just really hard for us to feel like we're getting in the spirit. We talk to people about their Christmas meal and they're talking about cold meats and prawns and cold salads. And, you know, I'm looking forward to turkey and all those hot, you know, mashed potatoes and gravy and all those big, you know, warm comfort food dishes. So that part of it, I think snow for us just means Christmas, and we have had brown Christmases in Canada before, but I think I can only think of 2 or 3 of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just, and seeing Christmas light, it just doesn't feel like the same to us. And, you know, same when we were in Malaysia, I think we I think that white, everyone's just really looking forward to the snow. We just feel like that's part of the whole Christmas experience for us. So people here are really interested in hearing about our traditions, though, because they are different. And we hear, you know, everyone says, oh, I once spent one Christmas in Canada or one Christmas in England and with snow and really liked it. You know, because I think so many Christmas cards and all that portray that even here in Australia.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because I think for us it just makes sense. Santa's on a snow sleigh. we're really looking forward to that. And yeah, so in Australia, you know, there's no fireplaces, so we don't have a place to put our stockings. We didn't know where to put them. So they're draped over a windowsill and you can see the swimming pool in the backyard. So that's very weird.
Will you ski over the Christmas break?
Yes, we are big skiers. So actually last New Year's we were in Dubai and we did 2 hours of skiing in the indoor. So that's our only ski experience in the last 3 years. My kids used to ski race and we used to go every weekend. So skiing will be a huge part of our winter holiday.
Yes.
Yes, our kids plan on landing on Sunday, and they'd like to ski Monday. I don't know if we can make that happen, but we'll see.
That's wonderful. And do you think it will be hard if you go home this Christmas that you'll want to go home every Christmas?
That's a huge debate my husband and I have, you know, been talking about, because it does. I think that family and that snow and all of that will definitely have, you know, bring up those memories and those traditions that you miss when you're, especially when you're away as an expat and you miss out on birthdays and all that. So having Christmas will be, I think, a real, you know, tug on the heartstrings. But, you know, then on the other hand, my 10-year-old daughter, she home is where we live, and she's sad that we're not in our house here for Christmas. So she's already asked next year to be in our house. You know, she was a lot younger when we left, so she doesn't, you know, she's sort of trying to figure out tradition for her, and she feels like waking up in our own house Christmas morning is that. So I don't know. I guess it'll depend how cold it is. If it's minus 25, we probably won't go back so quickly. But I don't know. I think... that's the one question I don't know. I'm interested to see how it all turns out for us.
I wonder how much with your daughter, whether she'll feel that the condo is her home and that's also just another home that she has.
Right, because we have had it since she was a baby. So
yeah.
I think maybe once we get there, I have made an effort to... I know my sister-in-law and my brother will go out and they plan to decorate the place. I've sent, you know, ordered some decorations. And so, I'm hoping that she'll feel, once we're there, she'll really feel like that's her place. And that I think that we'll just form some new traditions. And I feel like that's our life now, is that you make it what it is. And you just roll with it. And if we feel like we need to be back at Christmas next year to experience it again, then we'll make it happen.
Well, the thing that I think is the big difference between Northern Hemisphere people not getting a Aussie or Southern Hemisphere Christmas is we get all of the winter carols, and our Christmas cards are predominantly more winter scenery on the cards. I mean, every now and then you can find the kangaroos pulling Santa on the sled, do you know what I mean? But still, our Christmas carols are very much focused towards a white Christmas, and our cards are focused towards a white. So we get it. We understand that. And all the movies that we watch are all set, you know, in the snow, whereas there's none of our culture that really goes out to the Northern Hemisphere. So that's why they don't get it.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, we did hang on to a lot of old traditions, I think, as Australians. I mean, I grew up, we always had a hot roast lunch, and my granny always made trifle. But we always had warm pudding and warm custard and all of that. And we had a snow globe with a Santa in it and a Santa on a sleigh. So I think we kind of held on to that stuff for a long time, but it's definitely changed. Like Australians now, Australian kids sing songs about Santa being in his ute, and he's quite often in shorts and a jacket, and he's down at the beach, and and he's wearing his flip flops, and he might arrive, on a jet ski. Or he might surf in. We've definitely, Australia's evolved into finding their own culture, haven't they?
Yeah, I think we've taken on our own identity and we love it now. Although having said that, both Matt's family and my family, we still have the hot Christmas lunch. So we start off with seafood.
Yeah.
We start off with cold prawns and then we still have to have the turkey and the ham. And then my mum, my brother and I hate Christmas pudding, so mum has to make trifle for my brother and I, but she has to make Christmas pudding for everyone else. And then my dad just has one big massive bowl of trifle, custard and Christmas pud all in the one bowl.
Oh, yum, yum. I'm with your dad. Okay, so the very last one is Michelle, and I think she explains a typical Aussie country Christmas. But the flip side is she did get to go and have a look at what a white Christmas looked like, but I thought she did a really good job of explaining how that summer Christmas could look. So we'll do a quick listen to Michelle.
Well, I was born in far north Queensland. I'm an Australian, and the very top of Queensland, I suppose, a little tiny place called Innisfail, and very hot up there. And my mother's parents lived in Ipswich, which in summer can be even hotter. And in the park this year, we will spend Christmas at our place in Brisbane. But and that's the thing that strikes a big with me is, as a kid, we used to make the 3-day journey down to Brisbane, just west of Brisbane, a place called Ipswich, to visit relatives and family every Christmas. And with four children in the car fighting all the way, I don't know how my parents did it, with no air conditioning and no iPads and anything. And so we would come down to Ipswich and it would be so hot that I remember having the hose on the roof to try and cool the house down because it was just so hot. But we would do the silly, full trimming, turkey, hot food and be sweating. It was ridiculous. To contrast that with the Christmas, a white Christmas was incredible. Everything sort of suddenly made sense with the Christmas cards and the snow and the food. And even as an adult, with my first white Christmas, it was just surreal because you think, wow, this is what it's all about.
So maybe explain that, Michelle. How did you end up having a white Christmas? Where did you move to and why did you move?
Well, we weren't living there. We were holidaying there. We moved to Jakarta a couple of years ago for work and did a lot of travelling while we were there in the expat scene.
And this is you and your husband did this together?
My husband, the three kids. We have three children. And so, one year we actually went to Whistler in Canada for Christmas. And we actually spent Christmas there with a real Christmas tree. The only Christmas trees I've ever known have been plastic replicas because in Australia it's too hot to have a real Christmas tree. They die too rapidly.
Yes.
That was amazing. Even just the difference there, you think, gosh, again, it makes a bit more sense now having a tree because they're a real Christmas tree. and so waking up with the snow and it was all wrong, totally wrong, because there was no prawns on the barbie and hot weather, but it was all right because it looked like the Christmas car.
Do you think in Australia we're kind of moving away from that now, though, that people are starting to have more cold places and prawns and seafood, and we're starting to find a bit more of an identity of Santa on the beach in the back of a ute?
Absolutely. I think that's what a lot of people certainly end up doing, but I think we still cling to that tradition.
Yes.
There is something comforting about the turkey and plum pudding, and it's about the only time of year that Australians eat turkey.
Yes.
even that, the Canadians just turkey it's not something that we really have on our menu.
Whereabouts are you living now?
We live in Brisbane. We live in Brisbane. And certainly Christmas in Brisbane, traditionally for us, with our short tradition, is spent at home with family, whichever home that is, but swimming. Predominantly cooler food. As I say, from a practical point of view, I think a lot of people tend to do that. Thing is, you know, how we're growing up with memories and just how strong those memories are. And, that's what we're all about.
Yeah, we are. And also the insight you get into your own country's background when you start to see how it works for other people in other worlds, and you go, oh God, we were very, very English in Australia, weren't we, for a while?
But on a lot of things as well, you know, like there's a lot of things where you look at other cultures and you go, why do you do that? And then you think, why do we do that? You know, and you have no explanation for it. You look at them and go, yep, we're just crazy. But for us, it seems right because that's the way it's been done all our lives.
Okay, I totally got all caught up in that whole white Christmas thing because I was an exchange student in Baltimore and that's where I had my first white Christmas. And it was honestly like someone had put me in a postcard.
Oh.
It was everything that I had seen in the movies and on TV and the carols and everything. It was like I was living it all.
Yes, yes, I've had the same thing. We had it, we went to Panorama and we went on a ski holiday. And it is, it's like something out of a movie, isn't it?
Yeah. And don't you think, and I think Michelle touched on this, that back home it is sometimes splitting yourself between two families.
Yes,
and there's a dropping, and maybe that's why we haven't gone home all that much for Christmas. Is that there's no stress on which family we're going to go to?
Yep,
we're our own family. If my mother-in-law's listening, I'm going to maybe get into a little bit of trouble with that. But yeah, we always feel like we're splitting because you know my mum will then celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve, so that we can then go to Matt's parents on Christmas Day.
Now, I don't know if you've seen, Says, but our very favourite baby Mac, Beth McDonald, has done a weekend of what her weekend looked like, where she was
It popped up on my feed, but I haven't read it yet.
Oh, gorgeous photos. But she's basically at one parent's house. I think both parents have new partners. And so they've done, you know, they've got someone's had a first birthday, so they've met at the park and they've had the thing at the park, which is just a beautiful display. And we'll put a link in to Baby Mac because she takes great photos and her family are freakishly amazing entertainers. But so there's these beautiful shots of them in Sydney having a classic Sydney sort of celebration. But then you see they're at, you know, Dad's house for a lunch and then they're at Mum's house for dinner and then they're over at, you know, another Dad's house for lunch and it's all about food and family and how beautiful it all is. But it does, it just shows you how manic that last weekend before Christmas can get. But I'm with you, Says. I think until you can take over and be the, what my sister calls the Queen of Christmas, you will not win. Like I think.
Well, can I just say something? Until my mother-in-law is 6 feet under, there's no one that's ever going to take the Queen of Christmas title from her. That will never happen. I've given her her only grandchild. I take good care of her son, but that will never, ever happen that I will get to be Queen of Christmas.
Yeah. And, you know, we have this idea in our head of we're going to build this, you know, big enough beach house so that we can have all of the things there. But, I mean, I'm 46. That's how long it's taken. That's how long it's taken.
You're still the princess. You're not the queen yet.
Oh, yeah, she hasn't handed over it yet and it's not happening anytime soon.
And you know what? We're going to be exactly the same when we're even older.
I know. I cannot imagine giving that up and going to, and heaven forbid it's one of my son's partners. Do you know if it was my daughter? Oh, but if it was your son's wife?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. God, I can't even think about it, Says. Okay, so we were talking about social media and what we've got coming up. And
yes.
I've been a bit of a loser when it's come to social media, but I did want to talk about a book that I've just downloaded that I plan to read over the break because I heard from a couple of people, and it's called Up and In. And it's by an Australian woman called Deborah Disney. And my very lovely...
What a great name.
Yeah, it is a great name, isn't it? And my friend Beck Sparrow has this, and I'll put a link in on our show notes or on our website, but Beck has got this Facebook page called What Are You Reading? And Beck writes herself, and she's got a couple of other friends who are also authors, and they quite often suggest different things, and this was one of her suggestions. And it's a look at, a very satirical look at the schoolyard and life as a mum amongst the schoolyard. So I thought it would be a really easy, gentle holiday read. Nothing too hard. I am determined. I will be working right up until sort of Christmas Eve, and I'm determined that I'm having a break over Christmas, and I'm just going to eat and drink and not think. That's my idea of bliss. What about you, Cez? What have you got going on with your social media pics and ideas?
Okay, well, one of our listeners, Marnie, hi Marnie, sent us a link that really had me laughing out loud. illustrator Christoph Niemann drew his version of a flight from Berlin to NYC, and it really had me nodding along in agreement from the very first image, and it will for, I'm sure, anyone that travels regularly as well. So it starts off with, you know, when you sit next to that person, that's the fight for the armrest.
Yes.
And you will give up your spot on that. I mean, I even fight my own daughter for a spot on the armrest. And it just goes through about, you know, how like you'll eat the peanuts, but then, oh my goodness, what if I get really thirsty but I don't have a drink with me, and then I have to ask for a drink? And you know how I always get really nervous asking any of the stewards for anything if they're not just bringing them by as it is. I get really nervous to press that button because I think they're going to be upset with me.
Oh, they'll hate your guts.
Sorry.
Yeah.
That's the whole, do you choose the chicken or the pasta? And then the one you choose is always the wrong decision. And then you always get envy of the person next to you that chose the right meal. I mean, it is really, really funny. So I'll put a link up to that in the show notes. So thank you, Marnie. And Marnie also sent us a message this morning for, I mean, she must think we're real booze heads, for gin and tonic icicles.
I saw that. And do you know what's really scary is it's not just Marnie that thinks that. I've had about 10 people send me that. So and I realised, you realise you have a problem when you're starting to come out of chemo and you're feeling good, and you hear one of your children say, yes, mum's feeling good enough to go to the pub for a beer. Fantastic.
So I'll also put the link up to these gin and tonic ice pop.
They look good.
They did look really, really fancy.
They did look very fancy. Thank you, Marnie.
And then my other little social media thing, and it's just nothing too serious this week, is the top 10 YouTube videos for 2015.
Fantastic.
So if you remember the policeman in America who was singing along to a Taylor Swift song, right through to President Obama reading out his mean tweets, you just go back and you see all the really cool videos from this year. And just another quick one that I saw pop up on my feed this morning, I love a pageant. I love Miss Universe. I love Miss World. And I forgot that it was on, and I didn't set my alarm to get up and watch it. And it was the most controversial Miss Universe of all time because they read out the wrong winner.
That says I've been trying to work out what happened. I saw the headline saying controversy, wrong person name. What happened?
So they crowned Miss Columbia, Miss World or Miss Universe, I can't remember which, because there's a Miss World and there's a Miss Universe. So they've crowned Columbia. She's standing there doing her regal wave. She's hugging. She's crying. She's got the sash on. She's holding the flowers. And then the host says, oh, sorry, I read out the wrong name. It's actually Miss Philippines. And they had to take the crown off her head and put it on Miss Philippines' head.
Now, says, I'm having a flashback. Australia's Next Top Model. Remember this?
Yes, when Sarah O'Hare read out the wrong name.
She sure did.
And we haven't seen Sarah O'Hare since.
Is she Sarah O'Hare still, or is she Sarah Murdoch?
Oh, no, she's Sarah Murdoch. Yes, she's married to Robert Murdoch.
But she read the wrong auto-cued, or she heard the wrong thing in her ear, didn't she?
Yes.
And then there was that awful moment where she announced it and then she said, oh, hang on, wait a minute, oh, hang on.
I've got it wrong.
I've got it wrong.
So, oh, just to watch the clip, I mean, the pageants are just so, I mean, I wouldn't, well, one, they wouldn't even let me enter, but I wouldn't, I don't have any dream to enter. I don't have any dream of putting Sadie in pageants or anything like that. I just love them. They're like watching Eurovision. They're just so trashy that you can't turn away from them. And I'm so bummed that I missed watching this year because, I mean, it's the most controversial Miss Universe, Miss World ever.
And now tell me, was Miss Philippines a much better Miss Universe or Miss World than Miss Colombo or Colombia?
Look, I'm gonna do my pageant personality. I think they were both worthy of the win. They were both and they both wanted world peace.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right, Sarah, it's time for us to go.
Yes.
We are going to have a couple of weeks off now. And I can't
even... Coming back in the new year with some very, very exciting news.
So much excitement.
Yes.
Lots and lots of fun, lots and lots of giggles, but we're teaming up with a very fancy pants new and gorgeous hotel that we can't wait to work with. And we'll tell you more about it in January, but there's a lot of really good fun stuff. But until then, we'll just say for those who are celebrating Merry Christmas,
Happy New Year.
Yes. And for those
happy
who
holidays,
aren't,
happy
yes, happy everything. And we'll see you in the new year.
See you in the new year. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
We wish you
a fantastic Christmas. We wish you. I don't think it's going to work.
Okay, you do the first line, I'll do the second one.
Okay. We wish you a fat expat Christmas.
We wish you a fat expat Christmas.
We wish you a fat expat Christmas.
And a happy new year.
Good tidings we bring.
Let's all drink some gin.
We wish you a fat expat Christmas.
And a happy new year.
Beautiful.